On today's episode of The Back of the Bird, we sit down with Braden Maea of the High Point Panthers, talk about his ridiculous recent behind-the-back pass to beat North Carolina, his upbringing in lacrosse, and a bunch of good High Point stories, as always. Also chat about some news and notes around the league, some funny stories from Pauly, and yeah, just catch up on what's been going on. Let's get into it. Episode 112 of The Back of the Bird.
Take your first ride and run, baby, run. If you want a sign, this is it. You're mad, your magic, you're as hot as a gun. You want to play with fire, consider this. You'll chase the thrill if it's worth the hit. Cause you never ever want to work for it. Take your first ride and run, baby, run. You got a spine of steel and a roar of thunder. Yeah, you make me drown. Yeah, you're pulling me under.
All right. I'm good. We're good? Okay. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Episode 112 of Back of the Bird. That's so much time of you guys listening to our painful voices in your ears, but we appreciate it. Brought to you by Cottage Springs. We talked about this last week, these fucking springers that they've got, the 7% replication of the cold shot that you can just, again, Donnie talked about it. Everyone else, they're going low-cal, they're going healthy, they're going athletic brew, 0%. No. We're going 7%, pick up four of them, shotgun them, and have a blast with your friends. So, they've got those going. I think they're just in the vodka sodas. So you're gonna get a little bit of a throat cleanse when you bundle one of those down too, and the burps will be happening. But again, we're not encouraging. We're just saying that you probably should just shotgun it. You don't want to be caught sipping one of those. Now you can get them for all of our folks that are listening in Ontario. They're available at your LCBO. Donnie, guess the price for a 4-pack.
$16.
$9.95.
What?
$9.95 for a 4-pack of these things, 7% each. So go out there on it. If you're on a college budget, whatever, go grab them from the LCBO, and get some shotguns going. But let's, with that, keeping that in mind, let's just jump right into it. Pauly, you're munching, you're hanging. What's going on with you?
Nothing, man. Just having some dinner, living life. No, nothing really. Nothing really spectacular in my life going on right now. Just being a dad, being busy. No funny gym stories this past week, just nothing. Just trying to stay in my own lane,
I like it. Donnie, what's up with you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good. Bye week for us, which is nice. Easter, see some family, hang out with my old man a little bit, and not getting on an airplane, which is pretty sweet. Lots of good stuff coming out on Lacrosse Culture Daily this week. Obviously, we haven't chatted about a few episodes, but you can find all of the Back of the Bird episodes on there. To be transparent, we're navigating a new schedule between Pauly's and Buffalo now. I guess we haven't really talked about that, but Pauly's got a new team, and we got a few different midweek practice days and stuff like that. So we're doing our best to stick to Fridays, but a little bit tricky here. And one of the things that did come out on the website actually last week that I wanted to mention was Teddy Jenner, Pat Greenwood had a great interview with Marshall King. And I know I speak for the three of us. It's just really great to see him back playing again. And I think everyone should go listen to that interview. And, well, I guess I only speak for myself, but I'm really really happy to see him back and welcome back to the league.
Yeah, I think that you speak.
No, for you speak. You speak for all of us. I couldn't imagine. I think again, we've talked about it a little bit when it was going down. I don't know Marshall, but again, just coming back after such a long and tough battle that his wife went through is. For him to hopefully find some peace and happiness playing the game he loves, man, there's nothing better. So, yeah, it's good to see him back for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And I got full body chills when he had that absolute laser beam of a goal in San Diego there too. I think that one probably felt pretty good for him. So great for him, man. I know, again, one of those things is just like you look on social media and it's, you know, lacrosse Twitter and lacrosse social media can be a bit of a divisive place sometimes. And I think seeing everybody, you know, cheer for one thing, and really be happy to see that. I think it's great. On my end, again, we're just running through the weeks here, man. This is the time of year that just like March for me is always the quickest month. Like it comes and it goes. And now it's those standings are jammed up, man. Every game is so important. And it's going to be pretty cool down the stretch. I think this is exactly what they wanted with those unified standings, was to make everything matter down the stretch. And I think that's definitely working.
Yeah, actually, another good plug for the website. Our guy, Evan Schemenauer, who we're lucky he's in-house this year for the tiebreakers, but he was going through a bunch of the tiebreak scenarios. And I guess it was maybe 2016. I think, Paulie, you were in Roch. And like five teams ended 9-7 and it went down to the last night of the season or whatever in the Eastern Conference. I can pull it up, but you know, it seems like we might be heading, you know, for that. It could shake out normally, or it could, you know, there's a few like full chaos scenarios here that it could go really really haywire. And like I know when we were you know, the details aren't really that important, but when Georgia played Sunday, so we played Saturday, Georgia played Sunday, there was a way where you know, we would beat a certain team in a tiebreaker head-to-head, but then if it became a three-way tie, we would lose the tiebreaker to the same team we won the head-to-head with. So there's all these sorts of, like, of things that should be better for you, like a team above you losing should be good for you, but if it brings you into a three-way tie, it flips who has the tiebreakers, and there could be some like full lunatic stuff going on in the end. So from a fan perspective, you know, I think it'll be really cool.
Hey, in 2016, the two teams that were still tied had to play in a mini game to get into the playoffs.
What?
Really?
Nah.
I was like, I've never heard of that.
I fucking fell for it. Another funny thing I actually forgot to mention that's going on this weekend. My family is all headed up to Parry Sound to my brother's place for Easter. And because my brother is playing in that, like, you know, the Leafs alumni goes around and like plays games. Old Davey boy's getting ready to rock to play in that game. I think he might have to take Wendell Clark out or something, but you know, he's playing hurt. He's not injured. He's playing hurt. He got hit from behind in a men's league game, tweaked his shoulder up a little bit. So hopefully he can get the physio.
Hey, I sent that guy after him. You tell Davey you're welcome, buddy. Message sent. Message received.
That's funny. But we're still in talks. We're still negotiating with both parties to get the skills comp set up this summer. So hopefully that's something that we can work out. But this week we've got you know, the man that's the bane of my existence, but it, you know, in all seriousness, unreal start, man. Like, I think he's already got something like 35 goals this year, and you know, they've only played like 9 games or something, or 7 games, like whatever. So he's putting the ball in the net. Braden Maia just had an insane assist for High Point to beat UNC. And again, like, I know it's, you know, sometimes it can look a little ridiculous, you know, seeing teams really celebrate, you know, winning, you know, one game or whatever during the regular season over a ranked team. And it can look kind of, you know, just different, but it's, these things are like, you don't realize kind of like the meaning behind it, because it's so many years of playing the same team. You know, Coach Bresci, who coaches at UNC, he coached Coach Torpy at Ohio State, and kind of, you know, taught him you know, how to become a coach, and like to do that for him is pretty special. They used to beat the wheels off us every year, and it just does so much for the future of recruiting too. Like it just like that gets kids' attention to take the team seriously. So really pumped for those guys. We talked about it in the interview, pumped that it was on a Saturday afternoon and they're only an hour from campus so they could get back and really enjoy that one together. But yeah, shout out to our Panthers. Panthers are hot. Now they're playing at St. Joe's the Saturday, whatever this comes out that week. And there'll be a bunch of alumni guys that are kind of from that area. So I know that they'll be out having some fun and cheering the boys on. So jealous I can't be there, but I'm sure it'll be a blast. Let's kick it to them. You know what this is brought to you by. It's brought to you by Lucky Penny Media. At Lucky Penny Media, we're a full-service marketing company without hefty agency pricing. We understand your brand is everything to you, and working together, it means everything to us. I memorized that first part. I didn't even have to read it. You're more than just a client. You're a partner and a teammate. Our philosophy is simple. You grow, I grow. Braden Myers' nutsack grows for that play against UNC. So let's kick it over to him. Here he is, Braden Myers. All right, we are pleased to welcome our next guest, hailing from Windsor, Ontario. He spent his minor lacrosse days in the same town Paulie crawled around the streets of in university before playing Junior B for the Clippers, and eventually Junior A with St. Catharines. He currently attends High Point University, where he stands to break the only thing I've got in my name, the goal record, coming in the coming weeks. Welcome to Back of the Bird, Braden Myers. What's going on, buddy?
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
The women of Toronto are going to be asking Danny why his Hinge profile now says second leading scorer in High Point history.
I'm going to have to, it's just one picture of me and then like a screenshot of the current stats. So I'm going to have to adjust that. But how was you guys just bust up to Philly, right? How was that day for you?
Yeah, we actually stopped halfway. We're in Fredericksburg, Virginia right now. So we had 4 hours up here and then just kind of hung out at the hotel. And then we're practicing here in the morning and then heading up the rest of the way tomorrow. So kind of breaking up the trip a little bit.
That's changed quite a bit since my days. We did we once had the road trip of death when Bellarmine was in our conference, and driving back after losing in overtime or maybe last second goal or overtime, one of the two, but on their senior day, a bus broke down, 10-hour road trip from Kentucky on a bus that just has no AC. One of the worst things of all time. So I'm glad High Point's climbing the ranks, breaking up road trips, making sure the legs are fresh. So that's a big step.
Yeah, for sure. We actually did have one of those road trips earlier in the year up to Cleveland State. It was like a 8-hour bus ride, and then on the way home, it broke down for like 4 hours. Everyone was stuck in a gas station, and then they finally got a new one there, and it took like 10 or 11 hours to get home. It was brutal. But this time, hopefully no buses are breaking down.
Fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed. We'll kind of get into the season and obviously the most recent big win there towards the end. But typically, kind of how we do things is just kind of start from the beginning, go through, you know, your whole career playing lacrosse. So how did you pick up a stick growing up in Windsor there?
Yes. So I actually started playing 4 years old. The first time I picked up a stick, my neighbor across the street, he played when he was younger, and he had a son who was my age and a son who was the same age as my older brother. So, they started playing lacrosse around the same time and introduced me to the game. And we just got into Windsor minor lacrosse at that time. We were like the paperweight division where you're just running around trying to scoop a ball and all that. So, yeah, that's basically the first time I picked up a stick was when I was four. And then, yeah, I played through minor lacrosse all growing up. We had a B provincial championship. I believe that was when I was a peewee, and then after that we were all A-ball, so that was good to climb into that kind of ranking. And then field lacrosse, we dipped into the States just being right on the border here. playing a little bit with a Windsor team and also with an Oneida team, which was kind of like the zone seven guys that just wanted to get in the field lacrosse. We made a collective team with Wallaceburg, London, Windsor, Sarnia, all those guys. It was basically just a bunch of box guys going out on the field and just figuring out how everything worked. But we did that for a couple of years. And then Junior B, played with the Clippers for 1 year. It was a good season. And then after that, went to the Athletic up in St. Catharines. And I was there with them for my final seasons of box. And yeah, I mean, I've been lucky enough to – I've always been blessed with great coaches. I mean, I've had John Rosa, who's played in the NLL for years, and he was my minor coach growing up because he actually had – he has a son who's younger than me and a son who's older than me. So he would flip between coaching the younger one and the older one. I was always caught right in the middle, so I had him, like, every year growing up, which was awesome. And then, obviously, Steve Toll over at St. Catharines. He's the man. I mean, there's nothing bad I can say about that guy. And then obviously Coach Torpy here at
Who was your neighbor across the street?
His name was Rob Thorpe. He's I don't think he's around the game much anymore, but yeah.
I was just gonna say, where'd you grow up in Windsor? What part of Windsor?
I was like right on the edge of Riverside and Tecumseh. Like, okay. Right in that Riverside area, yeah.
Nice. I was wondering, did Rod Martinello ever get around minor lacrosse when you were growing up or no?
I watched him play for like the Clippers when I was younger. I remember he was like a big name there, but I mean, I've never met him personally.
This guy, we'll just go into a quick like university. Yeah. So he owned a bar in Windsor. Faces on College. I'm sure it's like condemned right now, but it was him and his brother. I think they might have both went to Cornell or whatever. They're kind of like part of that first group of like Canadians with like Mike French and stuff. He played in that 78 World Game with all those guys, but he was kind of like a Windsor lacrosse legend. So I just know it's like lacrosse is small and Windsor lacrosse is small. I just wonder if that was going to be the guy, but had many, many, like you say, crippled nights at Faces on College. Wednesday night, it was like, I think $2 drafts. It was just, and then the one thing about it, like picture this. So it's kind of like a restaurant, but the dance floor was a sunken in dance floor, but it was like caged in, if that makes sense. Like, there was like two ways in, like one here, one there. Like, I don't know why I'm trying to show you that, but one time, you had one like kind of balcony, you could like not a balcony, but you're like overlooking it. And there was an absolute like 10 on 10 brawl, but it was like a cage match because you couldn't get out of it. And it's like the dance floor was so greasy too. So guys are throwing bombs, slipping on like stale beer. It was incredible. It was one of the greatest scenes I've ever seen in my life. Anyways,
that's straight out of WWE. That's incredible.
It looked like, you know what it looked like? A scene from Roadhouse. Like the bar was kind of like a Roadhouse, like old wooden floors, like it was a good place to go. Anyway, shout out to Ronnie.
That's awesome. So you mentioned like growing up, you guys won like the B championship, and then you're competing in A. Is there guys from that you played with in Windsor on those minor teams that are still playing now, or moved on to play like junior or somewhere too?
Yeah, there's a couple guys that play on the St. Bonaventure team. Both the Rosa boys, Jake and Josh Rosa, they're playing there. And then trying to think who else was on that team. There's a couple other ones that are playing like box still, not in the NLL, but in the other leagues I got up there.
Yeah. So, I mean, did you, when you're stepping into play, I mean, I found this, I still say this, like I thought Junior B, in a certain way, probably just like the way that I played the game, was harder than Junior A, because it was like you're just getting murdered by guys. You're playing, I mean, back then it was a 4x4. You got like just massive goalies in there. I'm sure that, I mean, obviously that's changed now, but did you notice a big change in like the level of play when you moved from minor to that first year Junior B?
Yeah, obviously a lot more aggressive. I remember just growing up going to all the games too. There's like full on, they clear the bench and just full on line brawls. And I'm like, shit, I'm not really ready for, to get in one of those. I'm just, but yeah, once I did start playing, you know, it was a lot of fun, obviously.
Did you go to, I mean, what year are you born?
01.
I guess you would have been really young, but did you ever go to like, that's fucking nuts. Did you go to like Spitfires games growing up?
Oh yeah, all the time. We actually had,
go ahead.
We actually had, we billeted two of the Spitfires, and one of them, he was like the fighter on the team, Ty Bilkey. So yeah, we got season tickets to those. We go to every game. Those are awesome.
Were you around for the old barn or only the new barn?
When we had our tickets, it was the new barn. But I've been to a handful of games in the old one.
Yeah, that place is
greasy. Awesome.
Yeah.
I don't even know what Paulie. When would you have like aged out of junior? Like when would my brother have been playing for the Spitfires?
Yeah, like we're the same age, right? So
yeah, when would that have been? Like 05?
No, that was when we were just about to age out. So they 2001 to 2005. Yeah, we were both
junior. Yeah. So my is still picking up learning how to walk, shitting in diapers when my brother's playing. So that might not have.
Were you appreciating the?
You just did the 1 year of junior B and then you went right up to A. Did they draft you or how did that work?
Yeah, so I was drafted by Six Nations, and I only played in one game with them the year that I was drafted. And then there was like a couple weeks later, or it might have been the year after. I don't know. It's kind of all gelling together. But I was traded to St. Catharines, and then that's when I started playing for them. But yeah, I only played one full season of Junior B.
Who was running Six Nations at that point? Like it was Patty.
What's that? Sorry.
Who was coaching Six Nations when you played? Do you remember?
I know that Jake Henhock was the guy that like I mainly.
He was the GM. Yeah. He was trying. So we had I coached there for 1 year, like way back in the day, 2015. When were you born? Did you say?
2001.
Okay, so you were 14 years old, but. We had, do you know, like, the LeClaire brothers? Obviously, like, they'd be kind of known.
Oh, yeah. There.
So, like, he came out to a tryout. Kellen LeClaire plays for San Diego now. His brother Liam plays for Calgary. But, man, this guy, like, he came out to trials. He's a monster. But he had, like, the worst bucket on. And then we just kept calling him Windsor. But I was like, man, we got to sign this guy. Like, I'm telling you, he's from my alma mater. And then... honestly, we signed him and he like became a legend. So I just wonder if Jake was trying to get back into the Windsor pipeline, trying to pick you up. Probably a little more skill than Kellen, but
yeah, I think we're a little different players. He's probably got like 80 pounds on me, 50 pounds on me.
He was a beast back then. He's lost some weight, but he was a monster. That's when he was playing for the U, playing football as well. So he was a monster.
Yeah.
What is the U?
University of Windsor, obviously.
I'm like, did he play for Miami?
Hey, Brandon, like these guys don't know. Jesus, come on now.
Commuting back for midweek practices.
From Miami. I'm like, dude, that must have been tiring. Holy shit. What did you play? Did you, because you didn't play your last year of junior, right? So you played 3 years. 3 years in St. Catharines. How were your guys' teams going through there?
They were good. My first year I was there, I was still in grade 12 of high school. So what I was doing is I would go to class on like Monday, maybe Tuesday, and my mom would drive me up 4 hour drive on like Tuesday afternoon, and I would stay there for like the rest of the week because our home games are on Wednesday. And then we play like an away game Saturday or Sunday or whenever. And she would drive up, pick me up, drive me back home, and I'd go to school like for the Monday, Tuesday again. I was literally going to class like once a week. It was brutal just because I was going back and forth so much to St. Catharines. That's wild. But
I didn't even think of that. That must have been tough to actually like keep up with classes. That's no joke.
Yeah, I mean, I told all my teachers and the majority, like, they all understood. So, like, they were pretty cool about it. But, no, I mean, I loved that first year playing there, like, just being up there. I billeted with Steve Toll's parents, so shout out to them. Stayed at their house. They would cook me all my meals, did my laundry. It was actually insane.
That's pretty cool.
And, yeah, the team was great. We had a bunch of, like, unreal guys. We had Latrell, Liam LeClaire. Sam LeClaire, sorry. I'm getting my LeClaires mixed up. But we had McNabb, too. We got Demude, Witty. There's a whole bunch of guys that are on the team. It was unreal. And then my second year was actually the COVID year. That was where they did the bubble at the track. So that was kind of interesting because we just would go up. It was like a two-weekend thing, and you play four games in each weekend, and then depending on how you did, that's if you played in the semis and finals on the last weekend. But we ended up winning that year. We got the Iroquois Trophy, and then unfortunately there was no Minto that year due to COVID, so we didn't get to play in that, which kind of blew. But yeah, it was two great seasons with St. Catharines.
Did you do the celebration at Witty's like winery there or whatever?
No, we didn't get to do that, unfortunately. We just went back to the Jack. That was the last year they had that, and we just kind of burned that place down.
It was actually the last night they had that. Just finished it off.
Might have been, honestly.
That's hilarious. So then your last year. So this is so interesting to me. Like, did you already know like you weren't going to go back and play, and then Oakville traded for you without like asking that question?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I told the coaches that I was planning on just working that summer and making money for when I had to come back to school, and then that's when I got the phone call, and I was like, oh shit, this puts me in an awkward situation here.
Who That's was all the GM? Brocky? Was Brocky the GM not doing his research? Who was the GM?
I don't even remember who it was.
Was it Brocky?
I just remember. I don't even know. I just remember he called me and I just like felt so bad. I just kept telling him like I got to stay home and like work. I can't come and play. Like I just felt terrible.
Oh my God, that's all time. That's all time hoodwinked by St. Catharines too. Just like, oh, you're not playing? Let's get a first for him. Oh, fuck. So then, I mean, let's kind of, it's obviously from the box perspective, let's dive into a little bit of the, you know, getting recruited and stuff like that. Like how did you ever get in contact with Torpy, or how did like the recruiting thing kind of start for you?
Yeah, so obviously being from Windsor, it's not too highly looked at, but that's why Coach Torpy's the man. He actually he comes up to the provincials every year for the box provincials, and he saw me play. He was like watching like the I don't know. He told me it was like some like semifinal A game, and he's like, I'm just gonna wander on down to these other rinks and see if there's any like dudes from these other towns. And that's when he first saw me play. I didn't hear anything from him after that, but I also played with Hardcore, which is like a field lacrosse team out of Oakville. So I did a couple tournaments with them too. And Troy Cordingly was my coach for that. Another great coach that I've had just along the way. And just going to showcase tournaments with them, he kind of introduced me of what I need to be doing with like sending out emails and kind of getting out my highlight tape, because I honestly had no idea how the whole recruiting process worked before that. So I just picked like my top 10 schools, sent it off to them, and Coach Torpy responded and was like, hey, we got a camp coming up, like would love for you to come down. And I just kind of like weighed my options with some of the other schools, and I was like, all right, like High Point looks like it's an amazing campus. Like, let's go down there. We'll do this camp. So I went down there, and it was a 2-day camp. And shortly after that, I got sent home, and he called me, like, I think it was within 24 hours, and was like, hey, man, listen, like, we'd love for you to come here. I was like, absolutely, I'm in. Just seeing the campus and meeting some of the guys, I was 100% in.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we might have to take that part out about Torpy going up to the provincials, because then other coaches are going to start to get the idea, because I think that's kind of how he's been doing that for a little bit. Like, he gets there early and then, like, kind of sees, he doesn't look at, like I remember I went and saw him when we went to them, and like Shooter's kid was playing for Orangeville, and like, so each team would have kind of like their whatever three or four top guys. And like, he knew, like, you know, whatever, they're committed to Duke or whatever, like, they're kind of going all these. So then he would start to go watch like those like miscellaneous, go watch an Owen Sound or a Windsor play a couple games, and then find the diamond in the rough. But it's, I mean, obviously, like, it's worked out. And he loves the lefty thing. He really does. He came on and he talked about it. That's his big thing, man.
Yeah, for sure. We got a couple other Canadian guys, another lefty Canadian too, Isaiah Morin Weeks, who's going to dominate these next couple of years that he's got. So excited to see that too.
Now he's Ottawa, right?
Yeah, he played for Nepean growing up.
Paulie, what were you going to say? I interrupted you there.
No, it's all good, buddy. I was just like, the camp. What was the camp? Like a development camp, or like kind of like a tryout, or like is that normal D1 again? Coming from a guy who went to University of Windsor, like, usually I saw you just got recruited.
Yeah, they have prospect days, so they have three of them throughout the year. So, yeah, a bunch of guys go on, just try to get looked at, try to get recruited.
Sweet. All right, that's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't even know about them either until, like, that one. So,
yeah, seriously, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a while. We used to, like, because the guys that play there would go and, like, you could work them too.
Yeah, like when I used to work the Oakville Blades rookie camp and then send two guys out to fight each other, like that kind of deal.
Yeah, and then in the third game, you'd put your gear on and go bury a guy from behind. what were your, I mean, obviously you kind of had a different approach to the visit sort of thing, and like seeing the campus and stuff and meeting Torp, and you probably got a better picture, like, because you're gonna go meet Torp as the guy, right? And I've always kind of said this, like, he'll be your best friend and your, like, your father figure when you're off the field, and then you get on the field, and like, that, you know, that doesn't completely disappear, but it goes to like that I'm gonna hold you to a higher standard, like coaching. What was your like first perspective, you know, first thought of this guy when you go out and he's coaching you through a clinic, fucking screaming and spitting on guys by accident when he's running a practice?
I mean, I kind of loved it, honestly. Like, he's just, like, he's real. Like, he's not going to hold any bullshit back. He's not going to tell you something that's, you know, going to make you hope and hope and hope. He's going to tell you straight up how it is. And, you know, when he's on the field, it's just, like, a cutthroat mentality. And, I mean, I kind of love that from coaches. Just brings out the best in the player. So, yeah, I kind of love that from the first second I saw it at the camp.
Dude, so Lomi had this in the notes. I've been lucky enough to play with him as well. But what's your first impression? Obviously, as a Canadian skill set of getting down there and seeing Asher and realizing like how good he is, how big he is, how goofy he is. You know, what was that process like?
So the first time I met him was actually at my the time I went to the camp. He was like my host guy, and he took me to Lowe's. We had to go patch up some drywall in his house. And that was my first impression of the guy. But playing with him, I mean, he's unreal. Just his ability to feed and dodge. I mean, I don't think anyone can guard him. It's actually insane how he could just take anyone to the rack and draw that slide. And it just made my job easier, just being kind of an inside guy. I was like, all right, catch, shoot kind of thing. But yeah.
Yeah, easy game. That's funny about the Lowe's thing. He is a random skills guy. It is funny that he would be the drywall guy. It's funny actually. On that note, I got a random text from my buddy the other day. This is more for Dan and Paul, I guess. But and he was like, "I heard you were chirping me on the podcast." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Someone said you were talking about my drywall, because I was talking about patching the drywall in our college house, and my buddy did a valiant job." So. Anyways, yeah, it's a common boys trying to patch drywall is a common thing across the country.
100%. We did. We had to do that same thing at one of the, I mean, hopefully at High Point, you know, residency doesn't listen to this, but we had to do that at one of our places there after we used somebody as a human battering ram through one of the walls. We had to patch it up and then we like took a paint chip off the wall and like took it to Home Depot or whatever to try to match the paint. And then my dad's a painter, so he came down for senior day and he like we got him to paint it and like the paint was a complete wrong color. It was completely fucked by the end of it. But we got our security deposit back, so we fooled him. I've told like a couple stories on here. I mean, and I don't know to the extent of like what it's like now, but about like challenge week. Is there any, do you have any kind of like stories from that first week in the fall where you just get put through the blender?
Yeah. I guess this was another first impression of Asher. So he was late to our first ever team meeting. You know, they do the team meeting every year. You bring it up and they go through the booklet that's like this thick of everything HQ. He showed up late, it was like 10 minutes late or something like that. So my first ever High Point practice was the deck of cards, which I'm not sure if you did that when you're there. I'll explain it to the people that don't know. So deck of cards is you go through the whole 52 deck, but I'm pretty sure Coach Torpy, there's got to be two or three in there. There's no way it's just 52 cards. But every number is how many push-ups or sit-ups you will do. And then if it's like a red card, that'll be push-ups. And then black cards will be sit-ups. And he just pulls them at random. But I think he takes all the aces and twos out and just throws in a bunch of face cards.
Dude, honestly, if this man, there's no way it was a regulation deck of cards ever, because it was just always 10. Like it was 10 every time. And then I think it might have been like the Jokers, you had to run a 17 like across the field and back, and there was 48 Jokers one day. Like we're like, man, what the fuck is going on right now? Like we got to stop this right now. But those days were tough. And man, it's funny, I don't think I've ever really talked about that first meeting, but that was always the hardest day because you're meeting all the guys. You're so excited. Like, you know, you don't have to do anything physical the next day. So you're going to go out, you're going to get to know the boys, you're going to have some fun. But that meeting's at 5:30 in the morning. Like it was legitimately just a complete trap. Like you got to wake the boys up. I think it was a little bit of a team building. Like you got to make sure your roommate's up, get everybody there. But yeah, I forget who it was, but, and you, cause you have to wear like what we called class B's, like your dress shirt and dress pants kind of thing.
Still have that.
And the one guy showed up like 20 minutes late in like sweats. And it was just like, you get sick to your stomach cause you know, you're running the next day too. Like there's just nothing you can do. You almost hope he doesn't show and he just quits. Like, it's like, okay, that just solves our problem a little bit. So, I mean, Donnie kind of touched on it playing with Asher, but like those first 2 years to now has obviously changed for you. Your game's developed, you know, quite a bit over that time. What was that transition like for you? Like, obviously you've been comfortable with the ball and you can do that stuff, but was there conversations with the coaching staff? Like, hey, we're going to need, you know, a little bit more out of you now. We're going to change the offense a little bit just because you don't have Asher initiating the whole time.
I feel like it's a little mixture between changing the offense and also personnel wise. We have another guy, Jack Van Overbeck, who kind of stepped into Asher's shoes. And I mean, he dominates just as well as he did at X. But yeah, definitely changing up the offense, getting into new sets where kind of a whole bunch of different guys are able to dodge. And it's not just, you know, having one guy go here and stay on the inside the whole time. It's kind of explained as like marbles on the board where it's kind of free flow and everybody's kind of moving all over the field. It's not so much just like a set play that we have. It's more like giving guys ability to dodge and kind of use their game in games more.
Yeah. That's interesting, man.
I like the marbles on the board. I've never heard that. I've heard position this offense kind of explained a lot of different ways. I've never heard the marbles on the board, but it makes sense.
That gets Donnie sparked. New sayings or new facts or anything about the game, that's a full boner territory for Donnie.
that's actually true.
I thought I saw your.
Sorry, boys. Give me a minute.
I was gonna say, I saw your laptop lift up a little bit and your arms weren't down there, so I didn't know
what was going on. A new browser got opened.
Do you guys still do the tennis court box?
Yeah, we still do that once a week.
Does it still get turned into like a fucking basically the cage match Paulie was talking about before?
Yeah, pretty much.
What? So, I mean, explain that a little bit to everybody.
So once a week in the fall, we'll just go our lift shoes on and with no arm pads or anything, just what you wear in field, and we'll head up to the tennis courts with the 4x4 box nets that we have, and you go up there and they're teaching the guys on the team the pick and roll and kind of more like box style plays, stuff like that, the three-man game. And yeah, so the Americans on my team don't fully understand the rules that you can't just cross check people in the face and in the back and stuff like that, but they take full advantage to do that when we get to the box. So then it turns into that.
It's Paulie, you would love this because it's just right up your alley. But my freshman year, Mike Messenger went to High Point, and we were doing this tennis court box. And the rule was, you can get into like a scuffle, but as soon as the whistle blows, you have to stop. And I mean, you're not stopping that guy. So him and this other American comes and legit, like Braden was explaining, like buries mess from behind, full cross check, like not even close to a pick, like running start across the floor, just buries him. He turns around, sheds his mitts, and then grabs, and because you're wearing the field helmets too, right? Like grabs his helmet, rips it off. He's holding them. He's got his arm wound up. Legit, I think it took, in my mind, and it could obviously, it's probably exaggerated. I think it took eight guys. Every single guy's like holding his arm, like they're slowly being carried with his arm as he's swinging it at them. And like afterwards, like whenever it all breaks up, and you just hear Torpy in the back just going like, like doing his little laugh about the whole thing. It was legit mayhem. But the worst part that it would happen legit every time was like, because you're playing on a tennis court, it's like the rough, it's obviously like rough concrete, like it's not completely flat. So every time I'd play, my fucking top string and my stick, like the sidewall at the top would just be ripped in half. Because you'd go, every time you pick up a ball on that, it just shreds it. So you'd have to get a new stick every time. I eventually figured it out, but I started just like duct taping my whole stick at the top so it wouldn't happen. But they were stressful days. You feel bad for the goalies too, man. Like, because they're wearing their field gear, playing field style in a 4x4 with a guy standing 2 feet away throwing a tennis ball as hard as they can at them. Like, it was completely nuts. But they were always good little battles.
Hey, Danny, did you ever just try catching the ball so you have to pick it up?
Well, you, Paul, I know you've never done a structured field practice, but we do. You'd have to do loose ball drills.
Buddy,
but yeah, just, I did try. It's hard with it's hard with tennis balls. Let me tell you, that was a battle.
That's awesome.
So
you guys wouldn't play with a crossball, it'd be tennis balls?
Yeah, so you gotta have soft hands. Least,
yeah, okay. But that at least makes a goalie's life a little bit less.
I was gonna say I've seen some like pretty gutless like field crease box yeah, like some like field box crossovers where we had like these old hockey pants, I swear, that would give our goalies. It was just like the illusion of protection. It was like, this is not good.
Do you guys still do the pressure cooker drill?
Oh yeah.
Explain that all time drill. You got to explain this one to the boys.
Yeah. So pressure cooker is you're around the soccer circle right at midfield. And, you got the O guys all in one color on one side, the D guys all in one color on the other side. And it's basically coach just rolls out a GB and three guys go and you try to make it out of that thing alive. He's added now where you got to make two hockey taps. So you can't just pick it up and run out of the circle. You got to like hockey it a couple times. And then I like when he says you got to run out the other side of the circle. So when you run out, you're just taking blows to the head and neck and everything. But it reminds me of box in a way. So
Yeah, it does, and it's fun. Like it's like a it's addicting little thing. But again, another thing I think he put in simply for his own entertainment at one point, just to see fights, because it was like, I think the idea came to him like, okay, wait, how can we make this better? Basically, we're turning this into Red Rover. You got to run through their side, and if the ball comes out, you don't get a point. So guys are like clotheslining guys as they're trying to run through the other side. But has he implemented the push up rule? If you don't win.
I don't know the push. I know 17s.
So yeah, there's seven, like 17s, but the push-up rule was if you didn't win the actual ground ball, you had to do 25 push-ups. So by the end of it, there's only like four guys doing the drill because everyone else, like it's taking guys so long to do push-ups. So guys just like started intentionally losing so that they could just do push-ups and stop having to do the drill. It was completely nuts.
25 push-ups is a lot.
Dude, and you lose that three times in a row?
Yeah, like, I was going to say, that's a lot.
You're cooked, but let's kind of get into this year a little bit. Like you're obviously, you know, you've had some great success out of the gate. You know, I think it's been a little bit up and down for the team, but how have you felt the guys have kind of progressed through the first bit of the season here?
Yeah, obviously the first couple weeks we played a gauntlet. It was like we played like, I think it was four or five games in the span of like 10 days. So, I mean, it's always nice because Coach Horby gets, he tries to get the best of the best. Like we played Duke, Syracuse, Georgetown, all within like that 10 day span. So it's kind of good just to get, kind of see how we do against the top of like the best teams right at the start of the season. And then, leading into the next kind of games that we have is kind of getting ready for conference play. So that was like Jacksonville and UNC. Obviously we just had a big win there, and the guys are kind of on the upward trend right now, getting locked in for conference, which is what we start this weekend.
And is this the first year of the A-10 for you guys?
No, it was last year was the first year of it, so second year.
Nice. So you're getting a little rivalry going. Who's your most hated team right now in the A-10, you think?
Well, I mean, it's always been Richmond because they were in the SoCon too. So
yeah,
there's been a rivalry with them.
So, I mean, let's dive into last week, man. I mean, the game kind of, I was just checking the score. I wasn't watching it, but, you know, rolling into kind of towards the end of the game, like you guys are down and you score seven straight. Like what's the feeling like? I mean, I know how excited that Torpy makes that bench get. Like, how juiced are the boys as you start stacking like 3, 4, 5, 6 goals in a row?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was awesome. Obviously, a full team effort win there. I think we had like 8 or 9 different goal scorers, which was awesome. Guys coming off the bench. We had a freshman actually score 2 of them. And I remember when he got the game-tying goal, I like run over to go celebrate. And he's sprinting over to the bench to like celebrate with all the guys on the bench. The whole team's like running on the field. It was pretty awesome.
And then, yeah, I mean, you got to walk us through just the most blasphemous assist I think I've seen in a long time. Have you ever seen the South Park gif of the guy pushing the wheelbarrow with his own nuts in it? I don't know which character it is, but he's pushing a wheelbarrow and it's carrying his own giant balls. And that's like the first thing I thought about when I'm watching this thing. So, I mean, we're not going to reveal the play. I know that play well. That's a fantastic play. We love the pick down sweep across. But like, are you thinking in your mind the whole time, like, I'm throwing this in? Because obviously you're coming off that. And I think typically the first option is like come and try to get your own shot out of it. But the whole time or leading up to it, are you thinking pass or what's just reading the situation?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking on just kind of reading the situation out of that, but my teammate Jack Sawyer, like as soon as we get out of the huddle, that Coach Kennedy drew the play up, we're walking on the field and he just looks at me and he just goes Mayo, and like gives me the head nod, and I'm like, all right, I guess I got to get this guy the ball somehow. So I remember just coming across and he just started sneaking like through the middle, and I was like, all right, well, I can't throw it forehand because it could get picked. So I was like, let's just try this out. And then just got it in the vicinity of him. And then he was able to make that play happen really with that unreal backhand twisting. I don't even know what you call that.
Yeah, just the nutsack play, I think is what we'll call it. But and then, I mean, like, you guys scored with what, like 20 seconds left kind of thing?
Yeah.
What's your, I mean, because it's such an interesting thing in field lacrosse when you're an attackman and you're up in a game or the game's tied or whatever, and you're just like, you're a spectator, right? When they've got the ball down, like at the other end, like what's going through your mind when they've got it with what looked like a pretty decent chance towards the end of the game?
Yeah, I mean, I just had trust in our defense at that point. I knew if they just were able to kill off the last couple seconds of the clock, then we'd be able to come out with that win. But, yeah, just kind of putting my trust in them and their ability. I mean, they stopped UNC for like the last, I think it was like 17 minutes of the game or something like that. They went scoreless. So I had all the confidence in the world in them to get one more to finish the job.
What's the locker room like after you guys walk in there? Just mayhem or what?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was like one of the last guys in just because just kind of wanted to soak up the moment on the field a little bit. But I remember guys were spraying water everywhere and Coach Logan's in there pushing guys over and Coach Cook and stuff. It was pretty awesome.
That's, I mean, for the first time, because I think every other time, at least like when I was there and then like kind of, you know, quickly after, I think there was a time we beat Duke, it was always fucking midweek. Or it was always on a Friday when we played on a Saturday or a Sunday or something. So there was never really time to soak it up. So that's proper fun that you guys got to drive back to campus pretty quickly there and enjoy it. That's awesome, man.
Dude, random question here about High Point. How do you like wearing those mesh jerseys?
Yeah, I mean, I like them, but I've never even like seen jerseys like that before. Like coming down here, it's always in the long sleeve or the tight, but I think they're pretty sweet.
It's Donnie, it's a step up from I mean, it's, listen, we were just starting out, but like year one, man, the champion jerseys weren't exactly it back then. They were I'll never forget, man, we had a tent set up outside like the athletic facility and they had a fashion show ready to reveal our jerseys. And it was a 1-2 punch because, like, you know, we didn't love them. And the other part was, like, for some reason they had, like, these guys that were in, like, the Pike fraternity, which wasn't our favorite group of guys, be, like, the models of the jerseys. So it was, yeah, it was kind of a doubleheader. Torpy still laughs about that fashion show that kind of went on for that thing. But it come a long way. I couldn't decide if it was, like, one of two things. It was, like, completely out of spite of us, or it was like they just really wanted to feel what it was like to put on the jersey. Like, I don't know. It was like one of two things, but still super weird. I guess kind of, you know, obviously you guys are in the midst of it now. Things are starting to heat up. You're talking about conference play starting. Obviously, we're a High Point podcast, so we're pushing for you guys for the rest of the way. But what's for you, like, moving into kind of pro indoor, pro outdoor, like, is that a goal of yours, is to try and do both and play at the next level?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd love to play in both leagues if that's possible. It's always been a goal just to play in the NLL growing up, playing box. And then, I mean, I'd love to play in the PLL too now with all the guys that I know in there and just how popular it's become and everything. So, absolutely.
Nice, man. Well, we've had you for a while. Last kind of question for you. What's the reason behind the number 55?
I was actually number 5 growing up. Like every year, it was from that first day I played when I was 4, I showed up and they were like, we got 12 or 5. And I was like, I'll take 5. And then from that moment forward, it's always been 5. And then, you know, coming in as a freshman, you always don't get your first pick at the jersey. But 55 was available, so I was like, yeah, that'll work, double it.
Nice. Like, yeah. It.
Good stuff, man. Well, again, we appreciate you taking the time. I know it's late. I know you guys got to probably hit the road relatively early to get up there tomorrow. And best of luck tomorrow. I'll be watching, or, sorry, I guess Saturday. Best of luck Saturday for that one. Is it tomorrow or Saturday?
It's Saturday. Yeah.
Saturday. I forget it's not a holiday. It's not a holiday tomorrow in the US, is it? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
All right.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you guys.
What a chat with Braden. I think my favorite part of that was Paulie calling him Brendan. you're like, you're talking about Windsor and you're like, Brendan gets it.
Ooh, it's a tough one.
I didn't.
Oh, so to be fair, I came home today and Dory had a coworker over with her husband, and they have a little guy, same age as Mac. The little guy's been over a couple of times, and then he introduced himself, and his name's Cliff. Like, no word. 20 minutes later, I'm like, Clint, call him Clint. I was like, oh god. And then I heard his wife call him Cliff. I was like, dude, I am the worst, man. I am the fucking worst.
It is. That can be hard, but it's not the easiest thing. I taught myself now that whenever I meet someone new and like I shake their hand, I like say their name again, like nice to meet you, whatever. Clint.
Yeah, I've tried all that stuff, man. I try and like remember this guy's name, and then I think me saying remember this guy's name tells my brain like nah, just forget it. it's incredible. So no, my wife Dory just corrected me. She heard me say that and was super embarrassed. So she's like, she told Max, she's like, here, pass this to Cliff. And I guess that's when I heard it. I was like, oops, it's called this guy Clint.
That's amazing that she knew that she had to do that so that you didn't say it again.
Yeah. Someone texted me about this, but who did we just have on?
Hutchie?
Hutchie from Brampton. And you're like, Connor McClellan, does he still play lacrosse?
Yeah, that was bad.
That was bad.
Someone texted me about that. You say like, that was hilarious.
Oh, fuck. That was.
Do you guys play them, Lomi?
Yeah, we already played them game two. Like,
not that.
I knew I was scratched, though. So, like, I didn't even read the game notes. It was like, so that's on me, but. Because his name kept coming up, and I was like, fuck, is this guy playing still? Like, you've been hearing about him a lot. That was sorry, Paulie. That's on me.
Also, I think we need a new segment of Paulie explaining bars, because the bar talk today reminded me of when we had Rubish on, and you were talking about the bars in Mexico, and it was like you compared it to like the Colosseum in Rome. I'm like, oh my god, sounds like the best bar ever.
Dude, go to it. It is. It's very similar. It's crazy.
Yeah. So between that and the steel cage in Windsor, I gotta get out and see some of the world.
It's, man, that the cage match is like, I was visualizing the original Spider-Man when the guy's in the cage with them. Yeah. And what does he say?
The bone saw is ready. we had a goalie at Cornell every day when we would stretch. It was hey Teddy, like, we need one, and he would just come up and just hit the bone saws ready, and everyone would like sort of go nuts, and then it was just like a running joke after that. But yeah,
I love it.
I got one more story to hopefully end this off. So I was chit-chatting with my brother, and like, obviously he's like just a prankster, like we've known when we talked to him, but listen to this prank, and I can't go like too far into it because it's about my old man. So anyways, my dad would have been like 65 63, and we all know my dad used to like the white rum and cokes, big rum and diet guy. So the one day my brother is going over to his house, and he used to have a pool. So they're going to have like a little backyard mid-afternoon, Saturday fun day, whatever, pool party at my dad's. And they think it's a good idea. So what they do, my dad would always measure his drinks. He'd put like two shots in his drinks, and he'd have like four of them. Like, that was him like keeping count of his drinks or whatever. So my brother and his buddies, They take his Diet Coke. They dump half of it out, pour straight rum in it. So now he's mixing like his shot of rum, but pouring Coke into it. That's just like half and half. So I'm going to tell this story. But then it goes like completely backfires on him, because then my dad, when he like would get crippled, he wouldn't be like, he would just be out of control, like yelling, screaming. Like, so now they're like in the backyard, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. My dad just like, come on, baby, like just screaming. And then my brother says, my sister comes over, loses her marbles. She's like, what did you guys do? My brother's like, honestly, it completely backfired. It was like one of the
we had to deal with him after that. Was that's oh, yeah. So funny.
Yeah, he's just screaming at like neighbors to come over and party, and it's like in the afternoon. And like, again, it was, you got to know like the neighbor too. The fences aren't very high, so you can like hear everything. And my dad was just screaming like at my brother's friends, telling them like, go here, go there, party, like let's invite girls over, like just going just off the deep end.
That's amazing. Well, listen, the Cottage Spring Springers basically do the same thing for you. So if you want to have an afternoon party, go out there and get your 1 gram of sugar, 1 gram of carbs, Cottage Springer, and shotgun 40 of them, and you'll be feeling like Papa Doss running around.
Smoking Joe, baby.
Donnie, you got anything else for us before we do we have any other like league stuff?
Yeah, two things. One we haven't talked about. Bird bump of the week. Brody Merrill is playing in the league after his jersey retired. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Got to be one of the first guys to play under his own jersey.
It's got to be. He also played in the PLL, where the LSM of the Year award was already named the Brody Merrill Award. So that's a pretty good.
That's going to be like, and obviously like everyone who knows Brody's a pretty like quiet guy, like, you know, under the radar, but like, those are two of the crazier things in yeah. like support yeah. that you're going to look back and be like, well, actually, when I played, the league award was named after me. And then, yeah, I retired. They retired my I came back and still played. Like, it would be one of the two funniest things ever.
It's like calling the Rocket Richard like the Ovechkin Award.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Ovechkin wins the Ovechkin Award.
Yeah, the Connor McDavid for most valuable player. Yeah. Won by Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
The have... Do you guys have you guys seen this NLL memes page?
Oh, it's awesome.
Oh, he's incredible, man.
I've gotten roasted a couple times this year, though.
Man, like, again, obviously Brody's playing because he's a great player and he's come back. Some of the Brody memes that this thing has been throwing out has just been ludicrous. Like, rolling him around in a wheelchair and stuff, like, just so fucked up. But and obviously not accurate. A guy can play, but, like, there's just some good – you got to just laugh at those posts because they're just – they're ridiculous. But
he tagged me in one of them after the trade deadline.
Oh yeah, I didn't see that one.
I was in two of them. They're pretty
yeah, I'll have to look. I've been on there too, Paul. It's not a place you want to be. It's not usually complimentary.
I've been okay, because then he tagged me in that one and then he took the tag away and then he re-tagged me about like my crossing. I thought thought my wires were gonna cross. Like, no, I thought that was pretty funny, dude. It's okay, I retag you then. And I don't think I don't know. Can't remember.
Do we know who does that?
So,
do we know who does it?
So, I think it's a Western, not a guy that plays, but it's a Western guy. He's got buddies in the league, and it's a Western guy. So apparently, another thing. This isn't him, but I guess like. The Vancouver guys think it's like Dilksy. So I think when they have Kangaroo Court, they fine them $5 every time for running the NLL memes page. They're like, convinced that Dilksy runs it. So they fine, which would be like, it's not him. I know for sure, but like, which would be crazy. Cause especially after the last round was like, not
great.
Yeah. But they, I guess they fine them $5 every time for running the NLL memes page, which is kind of funny. I don't laugh about that.
That is funny.
Also, sorry, what's the other thing? I was just watching a little Thursday night lacrosse. We're treated to a little Thursday night lacrosse tonight.
Yeah.
Saskatchewan, Philly making up that game. And Robert Church scored his 800th point. It's a shit ton of points. So,
wow.
Yeah, congrats.
I think he signed a new 1-year deal there, too, right?
Yeah. And yeah, we kind of gotten away from the milestone talk on this here podcast, but yeah, that's obviously a big one. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that pretty much does it for this week. Again, we're going to try our best to kind of keep getting these recordings in. They're just a little bit tough with Tuesday, Wednesday practice. Some Donnie seems to have a Friday game every week. So things get a little hairy. So we're going to do our best. The next little while is going to be tough, but stay with us. And we got some intense lacrosse coming up. So tune into that. They'll all be exciting games. And we'll chat with you next week.
Peace.